Good morning. It is Brian of London here in the park where I have been walking. This is Brian of London. I'm in Tel Aviv in a forest called Bereshit Forest. The dude, the bears shit in the woods forest. No bears here, just me. And it's chilly. And it's been raining a lot the last few days. We've had extreme rain, and I think we've got more rain coming next week. In fact, the Kinneret, the lake, the Sea of Galilee in the north is shooting up 25, 26 centimeters a week. It's been going up over the last few days. Australia is having bushfires. I know. I wish we could send you our rain. And I could do with it warming up again. I'm not used to the cold anymore. And sorry for all the bushfires. Yeah. So what did we all woke up to this morning was overnight the Americans have taken out basically the number one military guy of Iran. But they didn't take him out in Iran, they took him out in Iraq. And he had just landed on a plane from Syria. Because I've just, actually before I went live, I just read the New York Times' rundown on this so that I can understand what the libs are thinking. And of course it was peppered with quotes from former Obama officials, the ones who gave billions of dollars in unmarked notes on pallets of cash to Iran. And it would appear that Trump's approach is Hellfire missiles delivered from drones above the Baghdad International Airport. And of course, immediately what this means for Israel is that we have to shut our ski resort, our one and only ski resort in the Hermon, because that is in, well, I mean, it's in sight of Hezbollah positions. From the top of that ski resort, which I've been to, you can see, basically you can see all the way to Damascus, because the ski resort is on land formerly known as Syria, but now definitely and completely Israel. So we've had to shut our ski resort. I will probably go out and buy some more bottles of water and make sure my my bomb shelter, my Mamad, as they're called here, is ready to go. It's a bit of a mess usually. You know, we've got a computer and stuff in there, but I've just got to sort of clear the door so we can close it in case we get rocket alarms. The problem for Israel is that on our northern border, forget Gaza, on our northern border is Hezbollah, and they're serious, and they've got tens of thousands or even 100,000 rockets, and proper rockets, real hard big military rockets, possibly with the ability to aim them, and that's waiting to be unleashed on our northern border. Now whether this is the moment at which Iran decides to tell Hezbollah to do that, none of us know, but we have to be ready for that. I live in the center of Israel, sort of. Tel Aviv is, well, you know, It's not as far from the north as you can get. Jerusalem is further, and Eilat is even further. But I'm in range. They can reach all of Israel apparently with some of the bigger rockets they've got. So we have to be cognizant of this. But yet I still believe it is correct that after America comes under attack and their embassy in Baghdad is sovereign territory, and someone tried to do that. Have I got fluff on my chin? There you go. I was eating. After America, come on, this is really, now you're annoying me. There we go. After America comes under attack, the only response is to fight back. And that's what you have to do, because we're in the Middle East here. We're in honor shame. We're in a different way of being. When you are attacked, if you do not fight back, you will be attacked more and more and more. This is how the world operates outside of a sort of a liberal kumbaya, let's all sing Imagine by John Lennon, the most terrible song in the world ever. That's not how the world works, and especially not in this region. And so when America comes under attack, or its embassy comes under attack, which is sovereign American territory, you got to hit back. And that's what I believe America's done. Trump obviously took a decision. I suspect other American presidents had the shot, but were never bold enough to take it. And if this guy runs Iran's, according to the New York Times that I just read. I mean, he ran not just major aspects of the military, but their intelligence gathering, their support for terrorism. He would have been supporting, providing the support to Hamas and the groups in Gaza and the West Bank, the occupied Palestinian territories, or Judea Samaria, as they should be known. He was directly running all of this stuff. He was running all the militias in Iraq that have been killing American soldiers for years. That's the only way that's how you fight. It's not that this is an act of war or that America's escalated. This war started when essentially Jews refused to accept Muhammad as a prophet 1400 years ago, and the war never stopped. We've just had ups and downs, and once the Iranian Revolution happened in 1979, and that country, which is a big, powerful, intelligent, productive, a country that was, you know, an industrious, proper country, once that country was taken over and run by jihad, for jihad, there was going to be perpetual war coming out of Iran. For a while, you know, they fought Iraq ferociously. They're never going to stop, because jihad is a doctrine of conquest and of expansion. And anybody who abuts that, anybody who's up against that, and especially Israel, which the existence of Jewish Israel on land that was once conquered by Islam is the biggest affront to Islam that there can be. So we must be destroyed. Israel must be destroyed. And obviously, America is seen as both the defender and protector of Israel, but it's more than that. America is the epitome of everything that the Iranian mullahs and the jihad dislikes, because all throughout the Quran is just completely from middle to finish, if one looks at it chronologically, from middle to finish, it's hatred for the kuffar, hatred for people who don't follow Islam, hatred for those who have gone astray, Jews, and those who've been led astray, Christians. America's the biggest one of those who've been led astray. And so if you think that there was ever going to not be a war with Iran whilst it is run by jihadi, 12th Mahdi, by these people believing in a millennial sort of end of the world style flavor of Islam, it's not going to stop. So killing their top military commanders is a very sane and rational and smart thing to do. If you've got the shot, you take it. Sure, there'll be someone to replace him. There always is. There are more jihadis lining up. But if you dent their operational capabilities, even temporarily, that's a good thing. It's like stopping them getting a nuclear weapon. Dent their operational capabilities. They're never going to stop trying. Doesn't matter if you make an agreement with them or you don't make an agreement with them, or you bomb them or you send in Stuxnet. They're not going to stop. That's why I always tweet with the tag Relentless Jihad. Every attack. We had another foiled stabbing attack, Gush Etzion, where my friend was murdered a year and a half ago. We foiled another attack, shot someone. Unfortunately, we didn't send him to hell. We sent him to Sharet Tzedek Hospital. It's relentless jihad. It never stops. They never stop trying. All that we can do is prevent them succeeding. And who cares how much Iran will retaliate now? I mean, if they're going to retaliate in a large way, it will be against us. It'll be me and my family that's in the firing line. So America, you know, they might try and pull off a terrorist attack in America. I don't know if they've got the capability to do that. I hope you can defend against that. But in the end, I'm not even sure that they've got the capabilities, or I'm. They might just be scared. And this is another part that you get from learning about Islam, is that they will declare hudna. They will declare a treaty, or they will agree a ceasefire or a hudna if it is in the interests of the Muslims. If they feel that they are not strong enough to attack, they can declare what's called a hudna, which can last for up to 10 years, and it must be renewed after 10 years. That's the best you can ever do. It's never a peace treaty. It's never a sort of a, that's it, violence is over. No, you can get a hood now, and it renews every 10 years. And it may well be that they will use internal logic that we will never hear about it to say, right now they are not strong enough to attack America, and that what would happen to them if they go all out and attack America right now is that not good. So those are my thoughts sitting here in Israel. I haven't really seen what the Israeli press are going to write about this. It'll be back and forwards. We'll have multiple opinions, the usual stuff, but there we go. I was going to talk about other stuff. I was going to talk about Britain and Brexit and anyway, I want to also do, I'm going to just throw this out there. I want to do like a Q&A session. I've got to have someone ask me questions, and I'll try and give short answers sometime about Israel, about Jewish sovereignty, about who Jews are and what we are and why we're in Israel and why we must be in Israel. And, you know, not directly to counter the kind of ethno-nationalist stuff, but to answer some of that stuff, just lay it out. Anyway, I'm going to look for a time and a place to do that. All right, waffled on enough. This will go up on 3Speak later. This is Brian of London. I am in Bereshit Forest in Tel Aviv, wishing you all Shabbat Shalom and a great weekend. And I hope you get some rain in Australia, and I hope bad things do not happen on our northern border. That's all I can say. Shabbat Shalom. Bye.